Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
We got a big circle today, so you're a long way down there, but the Lord is everywhere. So
he's very close to me.
Hello. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to look at a very long prayer today. It's about 30-some verses long, and it's Solomon's prayer of dedication of the temple. And there's much for us to learn here about a great prayer, the great address, the great humility of the one making the prayer, the thoroughness of standing on God's promises, of rehearsing the promises God has already kept and the promises that God, praying that God will keep, and then seven different circumstances, situations of the nation Israel in which they will be praying to the Lord, and the request for the Lord to hear their prayers and to grant them forgiveness and mercy. And as I was looking at this prayer, it's so long we don't have time to go through much detail here this morning, but as I read this prayer, I wish you would be opening your hearts to the Holy Spirit to speak to you individually, because are we not the temple of the Holy Spirit? And here we have a prayer dedicating a national temple, a temple of David to the Lord, which is awesome. But in a sense, I think this prayer has application for you and for me individually, because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and we want to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, do we not, continually? And so may you receive from the Spirit this morning. So I'd like to just begin by singing this hymn, very familiar hymn, "But Take My Life and Let It Be." And just in terms of consecrating ourselves to Him, in terms of dedicating ourselves to Him, and in terms, in a sense, of dedicating the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is where we reside forever, to Him. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the prayers in Your Word. And we thank You how much we can learn from the prayers in Your Word. And this morning, Lord, as we have a glorious, excellent prayer, really, a very long in a sense, and yet it's a dedicatory prayer to the nation, to all of Israel standing there and hearing Solomon make this prayer. And so, Lord, may we listen to You as You speak to us individually, to our temples, that we would dedicate them to You. And we want to sing this familiar hymn of taking our life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to You, with that dedication of ourselves to You in mind. And so go before us now as we sing, as we hear this prayer, and then as we go to prayer, exercising that great gift. In Jesus' name, amen. So you'll see I have only one page today. I had 6 pages of notes, and it was so long I didn't think anybody would ever stay awake to read it. So I cut it down to 1 page. How's that? But when we read this prayer, well, first I printed the prayer out. That took 2 pages. And we have Bibles, so at least I trust you do, so we can read that prayer together. But let's begin by singing this familiar hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And I think we can sing along with this music here, and you can either sing or you can just listen if you wish. "Take My Life and Let It Be." My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Take my hands
and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love. And Father, may that be our prayer today, that we would dedicate our lives to You, as even as Solomon would dedicate this temple for hundreds or thousands of years to come. a place to pray and a place to hear from you. And so as we read this prayer, personalize it for each of us in the way you would, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, the context here in chapter 8, the temple has been complete, the furnishings have been done, completed, the ark has been moved into the temple, and Solomon has already made a speech of the completion of work, and basically saying the Lord has fulfilled his promise that he made to his father David that the house would be built, and that he made a place for the ark, and the ark is in the house. And then in verse 22, we read, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven." Now, when we get to the end of this prayer, in verse 54, it says he rose from kneeling. So somewhere along the line, he begins standing, but somewhere along the line, he kneels. It could be that this prayer is considerably longer than what is given to us here even, but this is one of the longest prayers in the Bible that we have. So notice that it's Solomon himself. He is not appointed a priest, or he's not appointed anybody to pray this prayer. He is praying it himself, and you will see him referring to your servant, your servant, your servant. There's much humility here in Solomon's prayer, it would seem. And so he spreads out his hands toward heaven in verse 23 of chapter 8 of 1 Kings. And Solomon said, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you. How true that is, right? Who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. How's your heart today? Is it all in? Are you walking before him with all your heart? Verse 24, "You, Lord, have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day." Notice all of the great prayers pretty much in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, rely heavily on leaning on the promises of God, reminding God what he promised and what he has already done, thanking him and here, and what he's going to do. Verse 25, "Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying," going forward now, "you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel." And that was the promise, right? That was the covenant. Because David told Nathan, "Hey, I want to build God a house." And Nathan says, "Splendid idea." And so then the Lord spoke to Nathan that night and said, "You spoke too soon. David's got bloody hands. He can't build a house for me. But I will build a house for him that'll last forever." And now here, Solomon is referring to that. "You shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel." And now here's the condition. "Only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me." So again, there's the obedience. So how is your obedience? How are you walking in accordance with the will of God? Is there sin in your life that is separating you from the Lord? Because sin will always separate us from the Lord. And we need much confession and repentance, don't we? Verse 27, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I built?" There was the belief in the old days that God would reside in the temple. But we see here Solomon's recognition, God is so big. Even the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less in a building, or how much less in a small area? And yet, we read, we're to be filled with all the fullness of God, aren't we? That's Paul's prayer for us in Ephesians 3. And Jesus said, "If my word abides in you and you in me, my Father and I will come," what? "And make our home in you," in your temple. Amazing, isn't it? Awesome. So here he says, God, you're so big, this temple can't contain you. And now in verse 28, beautiful, there's three different Hebrew words for prayer here. "You have regarded the prayer," or frequently translated intercession, of your servant and his supplication, also referred to maybe as plea, P-L-E-A, O Lord, my God, and listen to, now we have another one, cry. Cry really means a wailing child just crying to get his way. So we've got intercession, we've got supplication, we've got pleading or crying. You regard the prayer of your servant and the supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant, here's again humility, is praying before you today. Now that's a good way to pray. Fervent way to pray. A good way to pray. Here's the prayer. One of the many petitions. That what? Your eyes may be open toward this temple, and put your own name in there if you will, because we're talking about the temple of His Holy Spirit, are we not? That your eyes may be open to this temple, what? Night and day. Isn't that a great statement? He never sleeps nor slumbers. God's eyes toward you and toward me are always open. Always open. Awesome. Wouldn't it be terrible if God just kept office hours? And man, you'd get to 5 o'clock and you were in a real pickle and, well, sorry, no prayers till tomorrow at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. No, He is always there, day and night. Of which you said, here's a promise again, my promise shall be there, or my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. And may the supplication of your servant, again, notice your servant, and of your people Israel, when they pray toward this place, then what? Here in heaven. So I think it's appropriate to pray to the Lord, Lord, hear my prayer. Hear my cry. We read that in the scripture, and here it is over and over again. Hear our prayers. Here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when what? When you hear, forgive. We have that promise in 1 John, don't we? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 31, now we get in a bunch of whens here. When. Now these are the circumstances that will come up. They're like prophesied, or anyway, Solomon has this assurance that these things are going to happen. Because when they do, Lord, here's what we are asking for. When anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple. So that's one sinning against another under those circumstances. Then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the wicked, bringing his way on his head and justifying the righteous by giving him according to his righteousness. Remember that prayer. It's the Lord. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. We're to love. He's to judge. We're not to judge. Yes, we're to discern between good and bad. We're not to keep company with the evil one. With those, how can the Lord reside with Belial and so forth? But we're to leave that to the Lord. Vengeance is mine. He's going to be the one that will make it right. Verse 33, when your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they've sinned, God will give great victory when it's for the Lord, when you're fighting for the Lord. But when you've sinned, forget it, guys. I don't know what you think about our military forces and all, but we are destined to doom if we're trusting in anything other than Him. And that's what all countries, pretty much, including the United States, are now trusting in, their own might, their own military, and so forth. But here, it's when your people are defeated before an enemy because they've sinned against you, and when they turn back to you, okay, repentance, turning back, repenting to you and confessing your name and praying and making supplication. He always hears that, doesn't he? But the prayer is, when you do that, what? Verse 34, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people. Notice emphasis on forgiveness of sin. It's so important. And forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. Now here again, another when in verse 35. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, again, why is there a drought? Because they've sinned against the Lord. When the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because they've sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess, again the same thing, praying and confessing and turning from their sins because you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants. This is repetitive over and over, but it's good for you and for me, is it not? Because we sin. So when we sin, then we want to confess and pray, Lord, hear our prayers and forgive, right? And he will. He's promised he will. Then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. You've been thankful for rain the last few days? Isn't that awesome? Water is life. Verse 37, famine, pestilence, blight, mildew. When there is a famine in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, or locusts or grasshoppers, when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people of Israel, then each one knows the plague of his own heart. How's the plague of your heart? How's the sin in your life? And they spread out their hands toward this temple. Then what? Here in heaven, your dwelling place. He's referring to the temple as your dwelling place. And forgive and act to give to everyone according to all his ways whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. In your prayers, of course, in your confession of sin, don't hold anything back. God knows it all. But he wants to hear it from you, too. That they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. We need the fear of God in our eyes, don't we? Moreover, concerning a foreigner. So these are strangers. These are not Israelites now. So this is everybody. And of course, we would be foreigners in that extent that we're not Jews, really. We're not of Israel. Although we who believe are of Abraham, which is a beautiful thing. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, from California, that is California visitors here. For they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and prays toward the temple. Then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth, that would include Californians for sure, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you as do your people Israel, that you may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. Now that's a great petition to stick in here, isn't it? Because remember, this is very Jewish. This is very Israel. This is Israel's temple for the chosen people of Israel, right? But notice how the promise to Abraham that all the nations through Abraham would be blessed. And notice this here that it says, you do the same thing to the foreigners you do to the Israelites here when they come to you and confess. Verse 44, when your people go out to battle against your enemy, their enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray, man, if you go out to fight without praying, forget it. You're going to get defeated. When they pray to the Lord toward the city which you have chosen, the temple which I have built for your name. Of course, we see Daniel doing that in the Babylonian captivity, always praying toward Jerusalem. Then here in heaven, again, the request, here in heaven, their prayer and their supplication maintain their cause. Now, another when. When they sin against you, for there's no one who does not sin. Amen, that's true. And you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of the enemy far and near. Yet, when they come to themselves, isn't that beautiful? Same words we had in the prodigal son, don't we? Coming to themselves. Don't we pray for that for unbelievers, that they would come to themselves where they were carried captive and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong, we have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who led them away captive and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then what? Here in heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, and listen to them whenever they call on you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by your servant Moses, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And so it was. When Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for the glorious promises in your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done and the promise we have that if we but believe in you, we have the assurance of being yours. We have the assurance of being with you forever. So, Lord, we are blessed. We are the recipients of such great love, of such a gift of grace. Oh, may that motivate us this morning, Lord, to pray aright, to pray for the lost, to pray for the church, to pray for believers, unbelievers, whatever you put on our heart, Lord, out of love and out of wanting to give you all the glory, Lord, trusting in you, the whens, when this, when that, when whatever, then hear our prayer and act. Hear our prayer and forgive. Hear our prayer and save, Lord. Hear our prayer and instruct. Just hear our prayer, Lord, and teach us now by your Spirit that we would pray, Lord. Each is are led by the Spirit. And Lord, may we keep our prayers short this morning as we don't have a lot of time as I've gone on and on here in a way. But we do have some time and we want to have as many people pray as you put things on their heart to pray for. So lead us now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.